Kelly Johnson, those of you who don't know me, and I've been asked to be the MC, so I feel like I should have Vanna White and Wheel of Fortune or something going on with me. But it's really good to be here with you. What I'm going to do is try here in just a few minutes to kind of set up for you the framework, the way that we were thinking as we shaped this gathering, and establish a sort of a baseline. We're all kind of on the same page as this conversation starts. So the first thing I want to do is read you a paragraph from the statement that endorsers of the Ecclesia Project endorse, the thing we sign on to. So one of the paragraphs says, "We are unapologetically political. We believe that the kingdom of God transcends national identities and must be the primary focus of our political loyalty. All other loyalties, familial, political, or ideological, derive their meaning by participating in the body of Christ and bearing witness to his kingdom. We hope to challenge ourselves and the church to resist accommodation to America and analogous temptations globally. We humbly seek to be used by God so that together, as the body of Christ, we might become more of what God has called us to be." We wrote that in 1999, we didn't know what we were talking about, but that's what we were trying to do anyway. So back in early 2017, the board organized a series of phone conversations. We just invited people connected to the Ecclesia Project to call in to have conversations about how their congregation was reading the political moment and responding to new challenges. And the conversations were all over the board. There were a lot of different kinds of understandings of what was happening, different reactions. But there was one comment that a longtime Ecclesia Project friend made that really grabbed a number of us. She said, "Suddenly I find myself defending the Constitution and arguing in favor of the rule of law, and that's not who I was. That's not what I used to do. I was focused on the church as the true polis. And I'm wondering, does this mean I've learned something new and I'm growing? Or does this mean that I'm selling out, that I'm losing hold on who I'm supposed to be?" And that, it felt to us like that was a very important question. As we talked about it, it became clear to us that while those conversations were the focus in which that question emerged, the question really wasn't about Donald Trump. The question was something that had been simmering for a long time in the Ecclesia Project among a number of us. What does it really mean when we say we're church's polis, and what is actually our relationship to the United States and to national questions? And we decided that it would be really good to have a gathering, a more sort of in-house gathering, where our own members talk frankly about the way they are understanding that question at this moment. We're revisiting a sort of a basic conviction, and maybe the conviction that most defines this particular group, the claim that the church doesn't have a politics, the church is a politics. The job of the church is not to make the world more just, but to make the world, to allow it to see itself as it is by being a church. Now, so what I want to do is just take a few minutes to unpack that claim. This is probably familiar territory for a lot of us, but I think it's good to lay all of these things out, kind of the territory that's familiar, as we go into some new conversations about that. So this approach to the church derives in the first place from an understanding of Israel and of Jesus, the biblical story that we live in. God is calling not individuals, not speaking to private hearts. God is calling together a community of people to be a sign for the world of the peaceable kingdom. And the church is already, now, the presence of God's reconciling work in the world. So it's a contrast society. It is, in fact, the true polis sojourning through history. And it's screwed up, and it's contingent, and it's human, and it's uncertain. And even so, it is given the gifts that it needs to be the church for the sake of the life of the world. God chooses the weak of this world to confound the wise. So the church is to be a witness to what God has done and is doing and will do. On the other hand, some of us at least would say that the world's social order is the domain of the powers. Economic and political forces are a result not merely of human decisions, but also in a way we don't entirely understand of a spiritual struggle that God will in time end. We don't control that struggle. In the midst of it, our job is to keep declaring God's goodness to ourselves and to everyone, and that's who the church is. And then there is also the side of it. We have thought a lot together, many of us, about the real nature of the state. Some of our friends like to draw on Weber's definition of the state as that which has a monopoly on the use of lethal force. It may do other things, but the state is by definition coercive, and its nature is to protect itself by the use of force. The old saying is, war is the health of the state. So a Christianity that identifies its mission with such an entity cannot be a witness to the peaceable kingdom. But in our own historical moment, we're confronted with a particular kind of state, right? That was one sort of question, say, for Augustine. It's another question in our era. We're faced with the liberal nation state, which is a kind of moral mistake, to put it simply. In such an organization, justice can only be what we agree on by means of something like majority rule or some sort of procedural system, which is to say that justice in such a state is not about what people deserve, what is good for humans, what the love of God calls for. It can't be about those things because the liberal state claims to have no commitment on those matters. So the shared story can only be that we have escaped shared stories, and the purpose is that everybody is free to define their own purpose. And so because of that, the modern state is not a system of mutual work to discern and to live toward a common good, which is what classically politics is. People discerning together how to live toward a common good. It is, on the other hand, war by other means. Or, in many cases, war by the same old familiar means. And all of this lands in a particular way with the United States, because the United States is a liberal state that has a long history of entanglement with Christianity. Stanley Hauerwas's work, which has been so fundamental for many of us, is like one long argument about the way Protestantism, and more recently Catholicism as well, in the United States have assumed that their task was to help the United States fulfill its exceptional role in the world as a light to nations. That American exceptionalism is a lie. And the American experiment was always profoundly morally mistaken. It was an attempt to create justice through capitalism and procedural democracy. And that's not going to happen. We might have been tipped off in the first place by the nation starting in slavery and genocide, but it's taken a lot of us a couple of hundred years to get to the point where we started recognizing actually what was going on. But that history creates a particular urgency for Christians in the United States to think very carefully about the relationship between Christianity and the U.S. Yeah. Because we have a pretty toxic history. Yeah. Now, critics have often claimed that if you combine a focus on the church as politics with this kind of radical criticism of the state, that this produces a position of, I'm going to put this in square quotes, withdrawal from responsible social engagement. I think that we can say communities connected to the Ecclesia Project have demonstrated again and again in many ways that engagement on the church's own terms rather than on the state's terms is possible, is constructive, can be beautiful, can be powerful. Sometimes it's bizarre and odd and awkward, and sometimes it screws up, but it's a really interesting, live, and possible thing. Anyway, as Stanley Hauerwas has pointed out, withdrawal isn't an option when you're surrounded. There's nowhere to go. I will say, insofar as we sometimes think that we can withdraw, maybe we need to examine our illusion about that. Because there's no way out of the world that we live in. This is our environment. So all of that's kind of background. Now, I say this with fear and trembling, humility at the beginning of a gathering, I think what we're doing presupposes all of that. That's kind of what we've been doing for 20 years. What we're doing in this gathering is drawing on that understanding of the state, drawing on that understanding of the United States in particular, that understanding of the church's call to be a people who discern together by our lives how to seek the good that has already been given to us in our story. We're assuming all of that, and the questions that we take up now arise within that way of seeing, not in opposition to it, right? Nothing that we're going to do is casting that out. But we do want to ask a new and very important set of questions, drawing on that brave soul who said, I find myself as an Ecclesia Project person suddenly defending the U.S. Constitution, to ask some questions. How, given who we are, will we face a weakening of the rule of law, even a minimal procedural liberal rule of law, which is beneficial for us? What's the role of protest against injustice for us? What's our role of participating in lobbying legislators who may, many of them, share our baptism? Or what's our role of working with people of goodwill who are trying to wrest the power of the state to do some genuine good, to meet human needs? Does our sense of the church as worldwide, reaching beyond the boundaries of the U.S., draw us more into or more away from engagement with the U.S., especially on questions of foreign policy? How does our attention to racial injustice, the experience of communities who have always had to be much more aware of the state's coercive power than many of us have had to be, how does our attention to them serve now as a call for us to re-examine the way we think about those questions? Yeah. And how, if at all, is the United States different than it was 20 years ago? What are we learning in this moment? So those of us who were tasked with organizing this gathering asked, and I think I can safely say pressured, some of our members, including me, certainly including Victor, to speak to these questions during the gathering. We have specifically asked people who have very different approaches to thinking through these new questions. We did that because we want their talks with a real variety of views and perspectives on this question to create space for us to talk about our differences around this. We know that in this room there are people who love and enjoy being together and come here with great delight to be with people who share that set of presuppositions with them. And we also know that among those people there are real differences. So I want to invite you to take the opportunity, yes, to enjoy being with people who have a lot in common with you, and also to ask hard questions, to say the awkward thing, to speak out what you're uncertain about, what you're confused about, and to listen to each other as we work through some questions that really aren't entirely resolved for us. This is precisely what it means to say the church is a politics. It means that we struggle together to understand how to pursue the good when we're not certain about it. That's what we're called to do here. Now, speaking truthfully is a gift of the church. We all know how friends and family, and sometimes fellow church members, can lie to each other, or just evade the truth, or keep quiet in order to keep the peace. But false agreement is not the peace of Christ. It's bad for the intellect, and it's bad for the soul, and it's bad for the church. We live in a gift of one baptism, one death, new life, and that's given us a bond that is not fragile. So within that, we can speak truthfully because we know that we are surrounded by mercy. We are a people who welcome strangers, who love enemies, and I hope that we can see that as including friends who sometimes turn out to be a little stranger than we thought they were, or who may say things that sound like they're not on our side, to make room for each other to say things that are uncomfortable, to voice questions that we haven't been willing maybe to speak in front of each other. So As we talk during this gathering, and perhaps as we argue about this moment in time, here's the thought I want to leave you with. God doesn't need us to win an argument. Christianity's not about our winning. That's not our story, it's not our gift, it's not our politics. So we can take the time to tell each other the truth about what's in our hearts. Speak our uncertainty, our confusion. We can listen to what we don't agree with without immediately rushing to try to fix that disagreement. We can speak frankly about what disturbs us in what someone else says without fearing that our relationships will be broken. God is not threatened by our process of thinking truthfully together. Thinking together in that way is what it means to be a politics. So one other thing about that, these few days we have together will not be sufficient to resolve the questions that we're going to bring up. And given our ecclesial diversity, we probably should not even be striving for unanimity about what we're going to do. Right? I don't think that's necessary. The Ecclesia Project is not a church in itself. You have congregations that you're involved in that are where your life is. Nevertheless, we can take the opportunity for some, I hope, genuinely searching conversations about what God is doing and how we're going to be faithful to that. Our politics requires us to attend to the movement of the Spirit. So I'm really glad that we're going to do that now. And that is what we're going to do now, because Victor's going to talk.